just a little bit of background. Over the course of several decades, large Cold War investments created these very unique, high-value, multidisciplinary laboratories that have long been leveraged by pretty much all of the national security agencies within the U.S. government.
We're talking Sandia and Los Alamos?
Yeah, the three nuclear weapons labs, Sandia, Los Alamos, and Livermore. Those were the only three included in the study, although we had other people object to that particular focus in terms of some of the, you know, science and technology contributions that the other DOE laboratories make. But in any case, our focus was exclusively on the nuclear weapons labs.
And so
we had these large historic investments that created sort of these multifaceted, highly capable institutions that are now pretty much under duress in terms of a lack of attention to not just the traditional nuclear weapons mission, but the needed investments to ensure that we're retaining the, you know, the core capabilities that are necessary to address some of our science and technology needs, you know, over the long term.
And so the idea is to make it an independent agency or to give it oversight from another part of the federal government?
It would be fully autonomous, a quasi kind of NASA independent agency with an administrator who goes directly to the White House. The other piece that's entirely unique about what the task force decided is that essentially you need a board of governors that's comprised of representatives from all of the agencies that leverage the laboratories. So you have, you know, the Office of the Director of National Intelligence represented. You'd have the Defense Department represented. DOE would be represented. DHS would be represented. So that all of the actors who leverage these capabilities, on the one hand, are required to make strategic investments to ensure that the capabilities remain in place, and on the other hand, are part of a long-term planning process to ensure that we are actually making the appropriate decisions to ensure that those science and technology capabilities remain in place that we need to address all sorts of different issue areas, not just the nuclear weapons question, but nuclear forensics, counterterrorism, assessment of foreign weapons programs, et cetera, all of the things that these laboratories have been involved in for many years.
We're talking with Libby Turpin. She is the project director at the Henry L. Stimson Center. I wanted to ask you about whether the report looked into the fact that, I know this is true for Los Alamos and I believe for the other labs, that they outsource large areas of the management function, I think, to University of California in the case of Los Alamos. And there's been a little controversy over the years over that contract. Do you think that that's part of the problem of keeping these labs up to date and focused on the core missions?
Yeah, a huge amount of controversy. You're entirely correct. We did not focus in on that particular issue per se. We had one finding as it pertained to the new LLC model that the labs are now being managed under that seems to have injected a tremendous amount of insecurity and instability into how the scientists perceive sort of their professional horizon. So we found that there was concern about this new model, and we recommended that like AAAS or the national academies do an assessment, both a qualitative and a quantitative assessment of the impact of the new LLC model on the scientific enterprise.
Now, is it because money is being taken from these laboratories in order to pay for other programs? Is it just because they aren't getting the funding that they would as a standalone agency?
Well, as I suggested in terms of the Board of Governors concept, one of the assumptions that the task force made is that there's going to be a continued sort of decline in attention to the nuclear weapons portfolio, as well as declining investments. So if you look at it from that perspective and you're concerned about the broad array of capabilities, again, not just the traditional weapons mission and what wherewithal these laboratories bring to bear on a range of national security issues, you have to figure out a different investment approach because, you know, as I suggested, the nuclear weapons budget was sufficient to carry along with it a lot of extra, if you will, capabilities and wherewithal that these other agencies could access just on a piecemeal basis. And they have over several decades.
And just
essentially
final
gotten science on the cheap. They
sure.
were never required to pay full fare because the weapons budget carried all of that with it. And now we're reaching a different situation in terms of the largesse, if you will, of the nuclear weapons budget alone to carry along with it all of the science and technology capabilities that we'll need over the longer term.
And fast question before we let you go: any resonance yet on the Hill from this report?
It's interesting. Before the last meeting of the task force last October, I used to work on the Hill, so I was up on the Hill talking to key staffers about what they saw sort of as the near-term possibilities for somewhat radical change. And it was about 50-50 in terms of, go conservative versus, no, I think there might be some impetus to make some major change here. When the report was released week before last, early that week, I was up on the Hill again talking to some of those same staffers, and there's a lot more interest in this issue, largely because of the OMB pass back to DOE that required DOE to go to get together with the Pentagon and do a study as to what should be the appropriate future institutional setting for the nuclear weapons complex.